All right, good morning. Did you know the average person gets interrupted every 8 minutes? And one of the greatest sources of interruption? Most mobile phone users check their phones 63 times every day. 63. And one of the greatest reasons that we do that is to check what? Social media. The average person has 8.6 social media accounts in 2020, up from 4.9 in 2014. And that leads us to this startling fact. Americans spend on the average screen time of 5.4 hours on their mobile devices every day. Okay, I didn't even hear a gasp. Like, we should be shocked by that number. But you know what? I'm going to invite you to do something you probably never thought that you would ever hear me say in worship. If you got a mobile phone, get it out. Everybody, come on. If you got a mobile phone with you, get them out. If you're watching online, get it out. Whether you have an iOS iPhone or Android, you can actually look at your phone and tell how much screen time you have used. How many didn't know that? Three. Awesome. So here's what I want you to do. If you have an iPhone, click it. Don't start surfing the internet. What I want you to do is I want you to click on that little gear-shaped thing that says settings. If you have an Android device, you can do this too. It's just a little bit different, and I'll tell you how to do that just in case you have one. But before we get there, we're going to do the iPhone. So when you get to your settings, I want you to scroll down to where it says screen time. And it will tell you your daily average use. So far today, I have used my phone 22 minutes. Now, I'm not going to let you off the hook, though some of you have probably used your iPhones for a couple hours. I'm not going to let you off the hook, because what I want you to do is I want you to click the little tab that says See All Activity, and then where you see SMTWTFS, that's the days of the week, what I want you to do is I want you to swipe over to the right so you get to see a full week. Last week. If you are an Android user, I had to look it up because I don't have one. You're going to want to go to settings, then battery, tap the three-dot menu and go to battery usage, then tap the three dots again. It says show full device usage, and there you will be able to see the same kind of information. Now, in full transparency, I used last week a whopping 1 hour and 24 minutes. Who beat that? Raise your hand if you beat that. Oh, come on. I know way better than that, that most of you use your phones way more than 1 hour and 24 minutes last week. Because y'all are just like everybody else. Which ones? Yeah, that's a good question. How many of you used it more than 1 hour and 24 minutes? Raise them up high. Come on, this is confession. It's church. It's not just for the Catholics. It's for us as well. So full transparency, right? You can see every... Now, put them away. Everybody, put them away. Now, you need to know how much time you spend on your devices. And parents, you need to know, youth and kids, you're going to hate me. You need to know how much time your students spend on their devices. Why? Because it's important for us to know how we spend our time. It is important for us to know how our kids spend their time, because it's not just practical, it's actually theological. I saw it put this way: the faithfulness of God is pursuing us from the past, and the sovereignty of God is setting us up for the future. We live where these two theologies and realities intersect. And so that means we need to be very aware of who we are, where we are, and what we're doing. We need to know what is taking our time, how we spend our time. And again, for parents, this is very valuable information to you. And if I could take just a moment, for the first time in the history of our world, kindergartners up have devices. They have Chromebooks and iPads because we've had to go virtual. Parents, how many of you have taken your students' iPad or Chromebook and started looking at it to see where they've been? Because let me tell you, the school cannot shut out everything. As a matter of fact, one of the greatest places of destruction is YouTube. And pretty much every student uses YouTube. So on their Chromebooks and their iPads, YouTube is not blocked out. Parents, you need to know where your kids have been. Because in the words of the principal who used to be at Highland Hills, we asked if there was there anything, we do a program called All Pro Dad there, and we asked the principal, is there anything that you'd want parents to know? And he said, dads, don't give your kids phones until they're at least 16. Now, you might be going, oh, that's horrible. Some would even say that's child abuse. I would say that's child protective services. See, we need to know where our students have been, because with this little device, they can go anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. It is important for us to know how we spend our time. It is important for us to know how our kids spend their time. And so when you look at your usage, it will actually break it down for you, right? How much you spend on messaging and Facebook and Instagram and everything else in the world. The average American, 5.4 hours every day. That is insane, isn't it? Well, good morning to Faith Point. I'm glad that you are here today, because we are continuing in our message series from Mark Batterson's book, Win the Day. And you will see the bridge in just a minute. Over the last few weeks, we have looked at five habits that Mark talks about in his book designed to help us stress less, and who doesn't need less stress, and accomplish more. So far, we have looked at flip the script, kiss the wave, eat the frog, fly the kite, and last week we looked at cutting the rope. Well, today, it's time for us to wind the clock. Wind the clock. When I was a kid, I remember that one of my most favorite gifts my parents ever gave me was a pocket watch. I thought it was the coolest thing that I could chain this thing to my belt loop before it was like popular to chain things on your belt loops, and I could pull it out and I could look at the time. But do you know what I had to do every single day? I had to wind it. Like, I had to twist the top thing back and forth to prime it so that it would run for the entire day. And if I didn't do that, I would lose time. It would not tell me what time it is. Now, we don't have to do that anymore, right? We have these devices with batteries and things that just tell us all the time what time it is. So today, we're going to talk about time. We're going to talk about winding the clock. Now, winding the clock is recognizing that every moment for what it is, a gift from God. It is recognizing that every moment for what it is, a gift from God. Winding the clock is about having a right relationship with time. It's actually called a stewardship issue. That we should have a right relationship with time, how we spend it, what we do with it. Now, I don't know about you, but I think time is one of the most precious, greatest gifts that God has given us. And so for that reason, it seems to me that the Bible has a lot to say about how we use our time. And so this morning, my goal is to help us have a better perspective on what a right relationship with time looks like and give you some practical ways to help you manage your time and fill your time wisely. As we have been in this series, it's made me realize something I think super important. Many of us find ourselves living in the wrong time zone. And I'm not talking about Eastern time, Central time. I'm talking about where we find ourselves living because some of us are stuck in the past. We have talked about that. Because of mistakes or missteps that we make, we find ourselves living in the what was and what has been. Some of us might be so stuck in the present and the challenges and the realities of sin in our lives that looking at the future seems like an almost impossibility. And some of us are so fixated on tomorrow that we find ourselves saying things like, well, when, and when we get to, and when I finally get to, that all we're doing is looking at tomorrow, when actually Scripture, the Bible, has us look at what is time in its entirety. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he had planned for us long ago. That's a time issue. God has things for us to do. That means he has set times and opportunities for us. It tells us that God is setting us up for amazing things that he planned for us long ago. That tells us that God is working all things together, as Scripture says, for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. It tells me that God, who began a good work in us before we even knew it, will continue his work until it's finally finished. So we're starting off recognizing this. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. And as I have already said, I think one of God's most precious and greatest gifts is time. Look at this warning about time that we find in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. The Apostle Paul writes this, "Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." We're supposed to be careful how we live. We're supposed to watch our time, where we spend it, and what we do with it. Time is an important thing for us because everything in our life is regulated to some degree by time and the constraints of time. So as we look at this idea of winding the clock, recognizing that time is a gift from God, it seems to me that we have to recognize at least three aspects about time. First, time is measured in minutes. It's actually measured in seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months. And we call this chronological time. It structures everything about us, right? And so what that says, I believe, is that we should learn how to manage our time properly. We are the masters of our schedules. That means we are the ones who should manage our time properly. Because all of us are allotted a limited amount of it, right? As I said, there are 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 365 days in a year, and that's about all we know about how much time we get this side of eternity. James 4:14 puts it this way: how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? It's actually a redundant question because it's got an implied answer. You don't. He says, your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. Time management is a good thing because time is limited. And as we discover how to manage our time properly, we quickly learn that we don't find time, we make time. We don't find time, we make time. Again, how many of you have ever found yourself saying things like, oh, it is so busy right now? Or, oh, I'm just going from one thing to another. How often have you found yourself saying things like, well, when I get some more time, and you're going to fill it, right? When things slow down, I'm going to get to. The truth is, as Mark Batterson says in his book, if you don't control your calendar will control you. You don't have more time unless you make more time. So the truth is, we make time for the most important lessons, things in our lives. I learned this. It probably, my wife will tell you, probably took longer than I think it did. But one of the lessons I learned in marriage in the first few years of marriage was saying, well, I didn't have time. It wasn't really a good excuse. Because we don't find time, we make time. And if you find yourself running out of time, then you're not making good use of your time. So when we think about this idea of winding the clock, seeing time as a gift from God, we learn, first of all, that we have this chronological time that we live by, that time is measured in minutes. But it's more than that. Life is measured, number two, in moments. In moments, what the Greeks called kairos time. Kairos comes from the ancient Greek and means the right or critical or opportune or even appointed time. Chronological time says, what time is it? Kairos time says, what is this time for? Chronos is quantity, kairos is quality. Kairos time says, like in Psalm 39:4, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. Sometimes we mistakenly think that we have all the time in the world, not really thinking about the fact that we never know what tomorrow holds. A couple months ago, I might have shared this with you, I don't remember, but it bears worth repeating. A couple of months ago, a friend of mine, who I helped establish an FCA, a Fellowship of Christian Athletes motocross ministry in southern Indiana and northern part of Kentucky, a couple months ago, he wasn't feeling well. And so his friends were like, you got to go to the doctor. Just go to the doctor. And I mean, it wasn't anything bad. He just wasn't feeling well. He goes to the doctor, who immediately sends him over to the hospital, and they begin tests on him. And within a day or two, they come back and say, you have cancer and it has invaded every part of your body. What? I was just at work 3 days ago. And he has to come face to face with the reality of his time here. About 3 or 4 weeks later, he died. He went from diagnosis to palliative care to death in 3 to 4 weeks. He had no idea that he was that sick. He just knew that he wasn't feeling very well. And so he went to the doctor. Well, during those ensuing weeks, he started sending messages to his friends and saying, hey, Could you come and see me? Or sending messages through his friends, actually, to say, hey, could you go and see Mike? He'd like to see you. And I got to go see him. And I haven't seen Mike in 5 years, 8 years, somewhere around there. It's been a long time. And one of the things that Mike did, he said, I just want to thank you for all you did to help start FCA Motocross. Because we changed lives. We shared Christ with a community who loves to ride motorcycles. And we made a difference this side of eternity for the next side of eternity. And Mike became so aware of that. And so he started calling his friends in and just telling them how much he appreciated them. Because he had moved to a chronological time that was running out, but a Kairos time that was important for the moment, so that he could share things with his friends and family members that he always wanted to say, but never said. See, Kairos time helps us to understand that, number one, we should fill our time wisely with moments and occasions and events. That we should fill our time with celebrations. One of the things I love about the family that I moved into is how they look at celebrations and make them a really big deal. Whether it's birthdays or Christmas or Easter, they just make holidays a big deal. And so we celebrate those moments. And the second thing is this, that spending our best time and our energy on the most important things is what we should be doing. We should be spending our best time and our best energy on the most important things. It begs us to ask the question, is this, whatever I'm doing right now, is this the best use of my time and my energy? Now hear me, we don't need to always be busy. It is okay to just veg out. But if you veg too much, you'll become a vegetable and begin to take up root. But we should ask ourselves, is it the best use of my time and my energy? This question helps us determine, what are the benefits? What are the costs? One of my favorite psalms reminds me, Psalm 118, verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, almost every morning, I find myself saying that at some point, and not only saying it as an acknowledgement, but saying it as a charge for me, that I say to myself, this is the day, no matter how icky the day was before, or the days, or how challenging the day is before me, I want to first acknowledge, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. See, how our day finishes is so often indicated by how we start it. And if we can start our day acknowledging and recognizing that time is a gift from God, and that we will say, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it, I can just tell you by personal experience, it makes a difference. Because how we think determines how we feel, that determines how we act. If I think in my head and believe in my heart that this is the day that the Lord has made, and if I rejoice and be glad in it by the end of the day, it's been a pretty good day. So I try to make this a way that I commit my day to the Lord. So winding the clock recognizes that time is measured in minutes, that life is measured in moments. And number three, as followers of Jesus, we always keep an eye on eternity. We have to keep an eye on eternity for lots of reasons. But for one of those, this side of eternity is like this compared to an eternity. This side, the way we're living now is this compared to what we're going to experience in our forever. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. See, heaven is real, and this world is temporary. And God has called us to live in this world as citizens of his kingdom first and foremost. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserve it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time to show us his great grace through Christ Jesus." And 1 Peter 1:17 that says, "And remember that your heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge you and reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents." Other translations say as foreigners. Other translations say as aliens. And so as followers of Jesus, we live our lives literally straddling this line between the here and now and eternity. That we keep an eye always on eternity. And there's lots of practical reasons for that. One of the reasons that we keep our eye on eternity is because if we focus too much on the things of this world, we're going to mess ourselves up. We're going to find ourselves following people we shouldn't be following, doing things that we shouldn't be doing, getting caught in places that we shouldn't be caught. But if we are keeping an eye on eternity, it will help direct our paths and lead us in our journey. Winding the clock recognizes that time is measured in minutes, that life is measured in moments. So as followers of Jesus, we need to keep an eye on eternity. So how do we do that? So in the time that we have left this morning, what I want to do is to touch very briefly on several ways that I think that we can manage our time properly and fill our time wisely. How can we manage our time properly and fill our time wisely? Number one, I think one of the best ways to do this is setting boundaries. Boy, if you know anything about me, if you've been around here for any length of time, you know that this word is one of my favorite words. That we need to set boundaries. The most lent out book, the most book I have ever bought copies of is Dr. Henry Cloud and John Townsend's book, Boundaries. Some of you are going, "I know you keep telling me to read this and I don't want to read it. And I know you don't want to read it because you're not doing it." But boundaries, like this is an amazing book because boundaries are, they keep good things in and bad things out. Boundaries keep good things in and bad things out. They're helpful because they keep us healthy. Boundaries, Mark Batterson says in his book, are actually like pre-decisions. I like that word, pre-decisions. If you try to type that in, spell check will want to correct it and say it's not a word. So it's a word though, pre-decisions. Mark writes this, "Pre-decisions are the ways we wage war. It's making decisions before you have to make the decisions. If you want to make a decision until you find yourself in a tempting situation, good luck with that." That's how we make bad decisions. Do you know how biblical that is? One of the great heroes of the Old Testament, Joseph. Poor guy, he had a bunch of older brothers who they sold him. Like they wanted to get rid of him. And boy, his life, talk about a guy who had difficult problems and struggles along the way. But you know what he did? He made a decision, a pre-decision, to always keep his eyes on God. To always live his life for an audience of one. Now that was really important because his faithfulness to God led to blessings in his life. As a matter of fact, this guy moved up to being like in charge of the Pharaoh's stuff. He was in the Pharaoh's house. Potiphar was his name. And Potiphar was a powerful guy. But there was also a Mrs. Potiphar who didn't have a lot of scruples. As a matter of fact, when we read Joseph's story, it tells us that Mrs. Potiphar like was relentless. Joseph, come on. She tempted him and tempted him and tempted him to sleep with her. Hey, Potiphar's away. It's time to play. And Joseph was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He made a pre-decision not to do it. And it was a good decision. Or I think about Daniel. Daniel and the lion's den. Like, yeah, we all know Daniel, right? Well, there was a time in the history of the people of Israel where a foreign nation came in and took them over. And the foreign nation looked at people like Daniel. It's like, okay, if we can get you to become like a Babylonian, then everyone's going to look at you and say, hey, if Daniel can do it, then we can do it too. Imagine how many likes that would get on social media. So he gets these guys, these strong, good-looking, built guys, and said, okay, we're going to do everything we can to Babylonianize these guys so that we can, it'll be easy for us to get everybody else. But you know what Daniel did? He decided ahead of time that he was not going to allow himself to be tempted. He was not going to allow himself to sell out on his convictions. And so everything that they tried to do to him, he was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to eat food from the king's table. I'm not going to bow down to the statue of the king. I'm not going to do it. You can throw me into a burning pit, and I will not bow down to you. Because he said, I know my God. My God can keep me safe. But even if he doesn't, I will not bow down to you. Do you know how many things in our life today we could keep ourselves out of trouble if we made a pre-decision not to do something? If we set a boundary that says, nope, these are my non-negotiables. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. I will do this, but I will not do that. That is one of the most practical ways that we can manage our time properly and fill our time wisely. Another thing that we can do, number two, we can establish priorities. We can figure out, like, what is really most important for us. A priority is defined as something or someone is more urgent or important than other things. Establishing priorities is like setting boundaries. It says what we'll do and what we don't do. It says where we're headed, and it says how we're going to get there. Mark Batterson says, don't envy other people's success if you aren't willing to emulate their work ethic. There's a lot in there about boundaries. I think about things like, I would adapt that phrase a little bit, because we're kind of in this hyper-comparison world, aren't we? Like, we look at everybody else and compare everybody else to what we're doing. And so I would say, like, for instance, don't envy other people's physical health if you aren't willing to emulate their exercise ethic. And just in case you're wondering, I did 26 push-ups yesterday. So I am keeping back with what I told you. Yeah. Oh my gosh, they're getting hard. Oh, doggy. Doggy. Oh, this one. Don't envy other people's family life if you're not willing to emulate their family ethic. Don't envy other people's spiritual life if you aren't willing to emulate their spiritual ethic or discipline. So we can manage our time properly and fill our time wisely if we set boundaries, if we establish priorities. Number three, by setting goals. Goals are a really good thing. I'm just going to touch these last few really quick. Setting goals. I like what Mark Batterson writes in his book. He says, imagining unborn tomorrows, I like that phrase, unborn tomorrows isn't just plotting the far distant future. It's plotting one day at a time. Life goals have to translate into daily habits. You have to wind the clock on your dreams every day. Goals are really good things. They help us to set into place where we're headed, what we'll do to get there. When we set goals, it helps us to establish boundaries. When we set goals, it helps us to establish good priorities. So setting goals is a really good thing. Where do you want to be next year in your faith? Where do you want to be next year in your physical health? Where do you want to be next year in your financial health? There are so many things that we can do that we can take control of by taking control of our time and not being victims. It seems like the word victim is something we love in our world. Well, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how hard it is. I do too. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul. Mark's class was talking. I love going to Mark's class on Sunday morning because he always seems to give me like some stuff to bring in on Sunday morning. And one of the things I love about Paul is, man, he was this like tenacious guy who was like, I'm not giving in, I'm not giving up, no matter what. I'm running the race that's set before me. I am persevering. I will not give up. I will not give in. And if you want to know how hard his life was, he tells us in Corinthians, he tells us how many times he's been shipwrecked and left for dead and beaten and flogged and had no food to eat and didn't have a place to cover his head up. I mean, we could look at that and go like, okay, I'm a wimp. See, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Do you know what his goal was? To literally transform the known world for Christ. So setting goals is good. I love this one. Number four, accumulating experiences. I actually should make that accumulating good experiences. Creating moments, those kairos times, moments, events, and experiences that you'll treasure for a lifetime. But you know, we have to be intentional about this one too. Mark says, don't get discouraged if your dream takes a lot longer than originally planned. Maybe God is doing something bigger and better than you ever originally imagined. Mindfulness, he writes, is keeping one eye on eternity and the other eye on opportunity. Simply put, it's making the most of every moment. Are we accumulating moment experiences? Are we accumulating those things that we get to look back on in our life as both anchor points as well as celebrations? See, those help us because no matter how bad it gets, sometimes we can be like, oh, but remember where we were. Remember where we were. Remember where we were. Remember what we did? Gosh, wasn't that an amazing time? Quite honestly, I think this is one of the greatest problems that we're facing as a culture today because we just want to wipe out the past. We want to woke it. I think that's the term. I'm kind of dumb on that stuff. But we just want to wipe it away. We should think about our past. We should think about our history, where we were, how we got to where we are today. So we should accumulate experiences. And then number five, the theme of this whole message series is win today. Win today. We do that one day at a time, keeping one foot in this world and one foot in heaven. By keeping an eye on heaven, we do that by managing our time wisely, because our time is measured in chronological time. It's measured in minutes and hours and days and seasons and years. And we recognize that our life is measured by moments, by celebrations, by divine appointments, by things that we've accomplished, the places we've been, the things that we do, so that we can be anchored and move forward. So my challenge for us today, I started by having you look at this. Now, I don't know if any, I looked and I didn't see anybody go, oh my gosh. I didn't see anybody shocked. Maybe you were. But I want to encourage you. Here's a real practical thing that you can do from here, from today on. You could make it part of your daily ritual to look at the time that you've spent on this thing. And you could ask yourself, was that the best time that I spent? Or could I have been spending that time doing something else or being with someone else? This is an anchor that's not a good one, quite frankly. I would encourage you to look at places where you can manage your time, take control of your time in a better way. Like when you go out to eat with your family, don't be like everybody else in the restaurant. Or they're doing this. Like if you go out with your family, leave this in the car. Leave it at home. Oh, dear God. Like some of you will go through withdrawals if you're not even carrying it, right? Like figure out those celebrations that you can do, that you can be in the moment chronologically and in the moment kairos, celebrating the moment. Because those accumulating experiences, that's what you'll hold on to. So I beg you, I implore you, see time as a gift from God. And if you're not using your time very wisely, look at it as a stewardship issue and say, how can I take better control of my time and truly use it and see it for what it is, a gift from God? Let's pray. Lord God, Father, I pray that you would help us to see time as you have intended. Limited this side of eternity, but abundant the other side. And help us to order our days, our years. Help us to order our lives in such a way that we both experience the fruit of your Holy Spirit and we become fruit bearers in our world, making a difference in our world for you. Lord, I pray that you would reveal to us, maybe in a really big way, how we've been wasting our time. And help us to reorder that so that we might win the day, because we're winning it by taking control of our time. And part of that, I know, God, is just fixing our eyes on you. That the more and more we allow your Holy Spirit to have reign and rule in our lives, the more we'll truly live as citizens of your kingdom. And the more we'll discover the abundant life that you have for us. So God, help us to understand and to know that when we wind the clock, we experience the abundant life that you have for us. And so help us to walk in that abundance, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.